Grand Fitness Pacer Test is a multi-stage aerobic capacity test.
It's a Tune Shed.
Bang, bang, welcome to the Tune Shed, the workshop for everything music, from history, theory, creative process, production, you name it. We're here to become better music listeners, better creators, and better music lovers. I'm your host, Blake, and I'm here with my dear childhood friend and professional musician, Marty Gray. What is up, Marty?
Well, greetings to you, Blake. Hello?
What's going on here? I'm smelling something fishy.
I do say, good sir, have you purchased yourself a record player? Have you purchased a record player? It's the hot new thing.
No. Wait, really?
A record player. You know, records outsold CDs this year for the first time. Since the 80s.
Wait, is that real?
Yeah, they did.
Oh my god.
For the first time in like decades, the CDs underperformed as opposed to vinyl.
That's huge. Wait, I mean, I guess there's no use for CDs anymore. Like, Walkman is just something that people rap about these days.
Yeah, right. It's like a nostalgic thing. They're like, I remember back when I had my Walkman.
Back when I had cargo shorts with the pocket is perfect size for the Walkman, but Yes. The cord wasn't quite long enough, so if I did any weird head turns, it'd yank the headphones out.
Oh, dude, remember headphones? Ugh.
Wait, you don't use headphones?
Bro, I use headphones in the studio, but whenever I go out, I use AirPods, and I had to use my backups because my AirPods were dead, and the backups were so annoying because they had a wire. And I was like, oh,
you're talking, I get you. They're still headphones, right? But they're just now.
Well, they're like Bluetooth. Earbuds. Yeah, I have earbuds with a wire and AirPods. And I was using my wired earbuds and they were so irritating. I was like, how did I do this ever? These suck.
Yeah, I got to give some credit to some of the Bluetooth headphones out there. They're pretty slick.
Yeah. Yeah, they are pretty nice. Some of them are pretty good sounding, too.
Yeah. How did records outsell CDs? How is it possible? What happened to Blu-ray? Just kidding, that's video.
Well, Blake, today we're talking about, if you couldn't guess it, wax. Records. We're talking about records.
Earwax. Oh, I mean, records.
Records, yes. Records, you hooligan.
We're talking about records. Specifically, we're talking about sampling records, bro.
Okay. Now I get where you're going with this.
Uh-huh.
I've seen people do that before, you know, record store, peruse around, find something nice, something you've never heard, and then make some cool, like, I mean, Dilla, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, it happens. It happens all the time. And I mean, sampling from a record is so much fun, and it's low-key kind of more fun than sampling from, like, a YouTube rip, you know? Now, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself. So,
all right.
What we're doing is we're taking a nugget from 80s hip-hop and converting it to digital, right? So in 80s hip-hop, they were taking weird records and spinning them and putting beats over them and flipping them and go, you know the 80s hip hop scene, you know how it went.
Yeah. So we're absolutely, sounds great.
All we're doing is Gen Z-ing it, right? We will. We're going to hopefully accomplish some successful resamplings of an old vinyl today. We're going to do it.
Oh my
real
gosh.
Time. We're going to do it.
No way.
Like, why not?
Live?
Yeah, live. Why not?
Let's go.
Well,
I don't think I've ever sampled a record before. I've like watched people make beats and do it, but I've never really like went through the process myself.
Bro, it's kind of fun, and you don't need much. So first, let's talk about what you need. So obviously, you need a record player. Does it have to be a nice one? The answer is no. In fact, if it's a nice one, it's almost worse, and we'll get there. You want a cheap record player. Right, you want something that you can scratch up, that you're not worried about the needle quality, you're not worried about the table dynamics, you're not worried about anything getting warped. You want to play with this thing, right? You want to mess with it. So,
got it.
The record player has to either have RCA or quarter inch or speaker out. That's the output on the back, right?
The cables we're talking.
Yeah, we're talking cables. We're talking cables. Right. And I only say that a lot of you are like, well, that's like everything. But I will say that the record player that Urban Outfitters sells for like $40 is a no-go because it doesn't have.
No, I love Urban Outfitters.
Urban Outfitters is my favorite. Oh. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. No, you can't go out and get the really, really cheap one from Urban Outfitters unless you want to mic it. The reason being is because the one from Urban Outfitters doesn't have output. It only has a speaker. So
is it?
Yeah, it literally only has a tiny little speaker on the side.
It's so funny that Urban Outfitters sells a record player. Like, that's just vibe stuff.
Right. You just like, yeah, it's just funny hipster things.
We should find the product manager who got that approved and get them on the podcast. Because I'm sure there's like some interesting reasoning. But it's just such a random thing, it feels like.
It is random. It's kind of like, so have you ever been to Brooklyn? Like,
yeah.
There are these weird stores in Brooklyn where there's like some 17-year-old working the counter. And inside they have like 17 things for sale. And they're all like really expensive. But there's literally like a couple of cardigans, like a tennis racket. And like a shoelace.
Like, is it like a front? How does this work?
I don't know. There's so many of these stores though. Like how they do that?
It's like boutique stores, but like even smaller and more expensive.
It's true. Yeah, and I feel like Urban Outfitters is like the Target version of that.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? They're like,
I connect the dots now. Yeah,
they sell random stuff, but they also sell records there. Like some pretty good records.
Oh, really?
They do. Like, okay, huh. Yeah. They had the Moses Sumney record there on sale for a second.
Oh,
which I was cool. Like, whoa, really?
Sorry, I'm getting off track, but one thing that's really cool about records and maybe why they outsold CDs besides sampling is like when you put a record on, I feel like you're more inclined to do some active listening or just like sit and listen to it. You're like, It's less than just throwing something digital on that you can just chuck in the background. It's a little more of like an experience. Like, oh, let's listen to this side of this record and do it as a team, you know? I feel like that's a little more of the vibe.
Oh, I definitely agree with you 100%.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's like an activity.
It really is.
Of its own.
Do you feel like people kind of miss music being like a tangible thing that you can like hold and collect and like have and own? You think that's part of it,
you
too?
You know, I think there's pros and cons to that. I feel like, I mean, one, collecting records or any tangible thing. I still have friends who are like, my external hard drive and my iTunes library. It is my thing. I love it because you can organize it exactly the way you want. You can do whatever you want with it. And it's, I guess it's still digital, but it feels tangible because it's not through the web, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's people like me that are like, I get the aesthetic of all that, but I'm like, there's too much stuff. Stuff overwhelms me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
But digital stuff still can have that same effect. So I guess, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I feel like with like collecting albums, it's kind of like, I feel like there's this hole in our culture where we miss like being able to hold our music in our hands. And I think the coolest way of holding music in your hand is like a cool record. Like a big record, you know?
Yeah.
It's just such a cool
There's something really thing. Nicely aesthetic about it.
It really is. Too. It is cool. Well, for whatever reason, we have vinyl now, and vinyl is really fun to play with. So the record player that I have is an ILP, an Ion ILP. I don't know if anyone else has this record player. It is so cheap and so bad. It's a modern record player in that it literally has like the old iPod port, which was really strange. Like you could download a vinyl onto your iPod via this record player. Like it's so weird and just random and very cheaply made. But
how'd you get it?
You know, I don't remember. I've just
like a thrift store or something. You're like,
I think
this
so.
Is gonna be fun.
Yeah, I just was like, at some point I was just like, that'll be useful.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it must have been years ago, like 7 or 8 years ago. But yeah, I've never been like into listening to records. Like this record player is very rarely connected to speakers that I like have in my living room. It's always been connected to my DAW. Because that's just what I do. Okay, and speaking of that, let's talk about how to do that. So connect it to your DAW. If you have a nice player, it'll have a quarter inch out. In that case, plug a guitar cable into the back, plug it into your audio interface, easy peasy, you're good. But if you're like me and you have a player that's cheaper, it'll have RCA out. And you'll need an RCA to quarter inch converter cable, which is really easy to get, $10 on Amazon, right? For those of you that don't know what RCA is, it's the red, white, and yellow cables for your TV.
Oh, yeah.
It's that one.
Yep, yep.
Obviously, the yellow one is video, and so audio RCA doesn't have the yellow one. So it's just red and yellow. Or, sorry, red and white.
Red and white.
Yeah, my bad. No, it's a very easy, like, on Amazon, just type in RCA to quarter inch cable, and you can buy one for, like, probably $7. If your record player is older, it'll probably have speaker out, which means you'll just have to work a little harder to connect it. Pretty easy. Speaker out 2/4 inch also exists. Another $10 on Amazon. Anywhere.
Speaker out like headphone jack?
Speaker out is what passive speakers use. And it's the speaker connector where you have to like unscrew that little plastic piece on the back and like stick the actual copper into it.
Oh, and it like snaps down on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen it before. It's honestly. Yeah,
I have some
really
speakers.
Annoying.
My mom's old speakers have that.
Yeah.
And we still use them. They're like some Bose speakers from, I don't even know when, but they still are so loud and good. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. My, I have a really old stereo receiver that I go out of my audio interface that connects to my secondary speakers. And they're like, they're like Bose bookshelf speakers, but they're really good for checking mid-range stuff. But they connect via speaker too, so I have speaker cable just sitting around.
Yeah, it's good to have.
Yeah, it is good to have. I mean, whatever. You need passive speakers sometimes. Well, at any rate, figure out a way to connect your record player to your audio interface. Very, very easy. And then you're good. You're ready. If you play stuff on the record player and hit record on the track that your DAW is set up to record, you're going to get whatever the record player gets. That's how it works.
That's cool. Wait, sorry, one more question on that. I know it's like logistics and those are boring and stuff, but are there USB ones just if you don't even have an audio interface?
You know, my record
asking
player...
for a friend.
Yo, my record player has one. It has an USB out. And I think if your computer somehow sensed the USB device, I'm sure your DAW would do it, but I'm not sure how that works because it wouldn't be MIDI. I don't know. Not sure.
Oh, I don't. I have a USB microphone. That works.
Well, of
course.
But
it's got some weird.
Yeah, it'll have its own driver. You know, your USB microphone has a driver.
Oh, so it might get a little complex if you're doing that. Okay, worth a Google if you're doing it.
Yeah, worth a little bit of digging. Worth a little bit of digging. If the consensus, the TuneShed consensus is, I don't know. after you figure out how to connect it, you just gotta go buy some records. You know? Go get some records. The record that I'm gonna use today.
What did I even choose?
Jerry Mazanik's Bohemian Polkas.
How did you pick that?
I just grabbed something random from my big old stack. And it happened to be Jerry Mazanik's Bohemian Polkas. I still have the sticker on it. The sticker says $2. So I must have bought this somewhere for $2. From like an
antique
store.
That's incredible. What a steal.
I know. Well, I mean, why not? Like, you never know when you're going to need Bohemian Polkas. So, you put that on the record player, and you see what it sounds like.
Right? There it goes.
You can already hear it. You can already hear the record coming through. Like, if I... Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That's just me touching the needle.
So then if I drop
that's how you can tell it's a high quality record player right there.
Yeah. So here's what it sounds
bumping
like.
Bumping around.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
That's exactly what I thought it would be. I'm bopping.
It's great. Yeah,
kind of like a march, but a party.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares? We're sampling the crap out of it. We're playing.
Alrighty.
We're using it as an example. Now, so I think I will quickly say, buy whatever you want, but keep in mind that if you're sampling and the sample is too quote-unquote recognizable, you and everyone you know will get sued. Just kidding. But in all seriousness, try to practice good sampling. Either get that puppy cleared, and we can do a whole episode on getting samples cleared for all you hip-hop producers, or you can do what I do and just bastardize the sample beyond recognition. You can just pummel it to the ground. And that's what I think.
And that's legal too?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. If your sample, if it's beyond a reasonable doubt that you can't recognize the sample in the song, if no regular person could connect the song to that sample, then you're good. You can use it.
Hmm.
So you
and actually, I was gonna say, I watched this video the other day of a guy saying, make anything from everything, or make everything from anything. Anyways, he takes some sample, puts it into his DAW, starts playing it, clips it so it's like not even a millisecond, like super, super short, and then that's just repeating really fast, and then he used that as like a waveform, and then he starts putting effects and shapes on that, and then he like turns it into this ambient synth, and then to this bass, and then he turns it into like 8 different things. So I guess at that point, it's like, everything is everything in music. Like, if technically that sample is like that sample, but yeah, there's no way you're gonna get like in trouble for using a sound source, right?
Oh yeah, man. I gotta start keeping track of how long it takes for Blake to nail it.
Hey,
it took you,
how long are we at here?
We're at about 17 minutes. It took you about 17 minutes for you to nail it.
you
nailed it.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. Like, that's exactly the idea. We are,
thanks, guy.
We're taking this random artifact from forever ago. We're co-opting it, and we're using it as inspiration, right? The point isn't that, oh, we're making a bohemian rap. We're making a bohemian style. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that you as a creator have unlimited options and unlimited things to pull from and to grab in your studio. The record player is just another random thing to grab when you're feeling chaotic, you know?
So this whole process is just to sort of freshen things up. Like, if you haven't done it before, it's like, this is a new way to start somewhere, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. Or if you're, it can be anything. If you're looking to just, like, make a random instrument, but you're sick of using massive presets, or you're looking for random little clips and bites and poo-poo sounds to like sprinkle in some beat, like grab the record player. Who knows what'll happen?
Pretty slick.
You know?
Actually, I was watching a different video too about Chromeo, two guys that make some great music, and they were saying that they sample drum beats off old records, put it into the DAW, and then remake it with their own sounds.
Oh, that's
just like,
super,
you know,
cool.
They'll go record the hats and, you know, maybe they'll spice things up and change it a little bit, but they just remake it so it's a little bit more like of their style, sort of breathes their air, you know? And then they just run with that as like the base for songs a lot of times.
Oh, that is really,
that was a really cool way, rather than like worrying about writing the pattern, just go find a pattern you like and,
you know. Oh yeah, they're totally using it as a springboard for inspiration. That's awesome.
Right.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, then they can sort of focus on like what the actual sounds are in the beat rather than what the beat is itself. But of course, they are kind of picking from like their own style, a sort of very funky kind of electro pop.
Of course.
Thing.
Well, yeah, and they're kind of hip with it. They're like, hey man, like, we don't want to focus too hard on making the beat. We just want to co-opt what has worked in the past. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing
right,
at all.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us do that to a degree. They're just self-aware about it.
And actually, all music is referencing all other music. Like, I feel like the only reason certain chord progressions hit you or certain beats hit you in a certain way is because you've heard it before and it's becomes this historical thing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Even just like, you know, like the boom, chip, boom, chip, boom, chip, boom, chip. Like, that's a type of beat.
Oh,
like, if you'd never heard that before, you'd be like, what is he doing?
Yeah, that's true.
You might still be thinking that though, for all I know.
Well, should we talk about why record sampling is so cool? And it's so different than sampling from like a ripped YouTube beat. Because with a ripped YouTube beat, you can't get your grubby little hands on it. That's the thing. That's the thing that makes it so fun. So I am allowed to touch the record, by the way, because it would cost $2. It doesn't matter. I'm allowed to touch the needle. I'm allowed to punch my player. I'm allowed to do whatever I want. That's what makes it so fun. You can't do that with a YouTube beat. So let me put the record back on and just start messing with it, right? I'll just drop the needle randomly and start and
drop
let it play. Oh, this is good. Man, listen to this. I'm just like slightly touching the player. Now I'm doing the 80s thing.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just going backwards.
Are you just pulling it backwards?
Yeah. Man, I'm like wrecking this vinyl. But like, who
and
cares?
Then it just like kicks back up into this jolly little like.
It's great. <poke. laughs> Wait, I'm gonna record some stuff. Okay, let me... Alright, I'm tracking. I'm just gonna mess with the needle a little bit. I'm just picking the needle up and putting it down. I'm gonna do that detune thing again, that sounded pretty good. Ooh, there was a cool little one in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
So when you're doing that, you're not really like trying to put it together into something that makes any musical sense. You're just like hunting for little moments where it's like, ooh, I could do something with that later. Is that right?
You know, yeah. And some of it is like, I don't even know where it's going. I don't have any idea what this is going to be used for.
It's just literally messing around for just for the sake of it.
Oh, yeah. And like I recorded what I just did. Like I have this, you know, I have it there. Here it is. I'm playing it back. I have this big block of random stuff so I can go scrub through it. This was my little cool moment right here. Like that I thought that was interesting.
That is pretty cool.
I think I'm going to cut that and put it to the side. Might as well. I'm going to take a couple
Drop
other spots,
up.
Too. Ba, ba, ba. I'm just going to... Why not? I'm going to cut that. What else? Oh, that's cool. That little, like, clip. I'm gonna put that to the
was
side.
Was that you
too.
Touching, like pushing on the needle there? Or what happened there?
Yeah, I kind of was just like flicking the needle over to another groove, you know, like just messing with the needle.
There's definitely some people out there who just hate the whole idea of scratching a record abrasively.
Vinyl purists are like, please don't do that. Oh, we forgot to play with speed. Oh my god. This record player has multiple speeds, so.
Oh, what?
Yeah, let me put it back. Hold on, let me.
Oh, is it for like, I'm too young to know.
It's like 45s or whatever they're called, or like
45s, there we go.
Yeah, I don't know. Here, wait, let me flick this little, there's a switch on the side. Oh, now we're, woo! All right. Oh, it's done. Wait,
that's
it's
so
over.
Fast.
Yeah, this is the fastest. Let's record that.
Yeah, some of those like little hits sound kind of sweet.
Oh, they totally do.
Like kind of like the whatever's on that rhythm, just put that into the beat somewhere.
Yeah, where was that? The little.
So good.
Right there. Let's cut that. Let's chop that out.
That looped and then quiet just as a drone in the background.
Wait, let's duplicate it a bunch of times. Let's see what happens. Well, now it just sounds like sounds like a record skipping.
Can't have that.
No way.
I don't know why this just cracks me up. It's every so time it just fun. Like kicks back into this full happy band.
Oh. Oh, speaking of which, did you hear that nice like ambience at the end?
Mm.
That stuff. That's really nice to sample. Ooh. Actually, like just the vinyl crackle.
What do you just like put under a track to make it kind of more alive?
Yeah, so like I know a lot of lo-fi producers do that. They like there are tons of samples, and there are actually software instruments now that make vinyl crackle, but it's always fun to get the real thing.
I made one once. Was it you who suggested this to me? Maybe someone suggested it to me. I just have a salt lamp, and I just sort of like rubbed my fingernails on it and kind of did it in like little sweeping motions. So it was like still a crackle, but had a little bit of a pulse to it.
Oh, you know what? You were telling me about this, but I don't think it was me who suggested it.
Oh, that's cool, I use it all though. The time. It's actually like really nice to throw in there. And then I have another one that has like some kitchen sounds in the background. That's just like, I don't even know what it was. Just like the drone of the room I was in or something.
Oh yeah.
Not really a crackle, but it still makes that like, it takes a really like software-y beat and makes it alive.
Oh yeah. And there are some producers that call that Foley. They call it like using real world sounds and ambience in your music.
Yeah, I love that.
I do too. I think it's really cool, especially when you can get like really crumbly, tingly sounds in stereo. Ooh. Yeah, it is really nice.
That reminds me of another one. Throwback to Turkey again. When I lived in Turkey, I took a recording of just like a whole day. So I heard like the prayer calls, and I was like, we walked out on this break wall. Whoa. So there's like waves and people talking, and it's just my phone is just like in my pocket all day long, like a bunch of birds. And I think I still have the voice memo on my computer, but
whoa,
that could
what
be
the
kind
heck?
Of
can you send that to me?
Yeah, probably could. Might need to compress it somehow, because it's yeah, let me dig that up. Forgot about that.
That's awesome. Well, okay, let's try one more thing. I'm just going to... Here's always a fun thing. If you are an Ableton user, and I think also a Logic user, if you click on a clip and you just press R, it reverses the whole sample. That's cool. There was a cool little moment in there.
That's sweet.
It's awesome. Dude, reversing samples is a great way of just like cheating your way out of creative rut. You're just like, I don't know what to do. Let's just reverse it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like that too. I had the same.
Like sometimes it's like, why is that more catchy than the rest of the stuff there?
Who knows,
you know,
bro?
None of it's really like fully music, but like we both were like, yep, that's the spot.
Yeah, right? That's cool.
What is art?
Yeah, I don't know. What is taste? Who knows what taste is? All right, so I have a bunch of random samples here. I have this like vinyl thing. This like record skippy vinyl cut.
It's got like a hit in the back too. That's kind
of
nice.
Yeah, this little like ch. I think I caught the end of the cymbal or something.
Yeah, it's vinyl. Nice.
Well, I'm just going to put that on its own track. And I don't know, just put it somewhere. And then I have all these other things. That. I have that. I have that. I have that.
Ba-ba-ba.
That's my favorite
so
one.
So jolly.
I have that. So I have just a bunch of random stuff. Which is really fun.
Now what?
Well, I think maybe now I can put it onto a drum rack. Which means in Ableton, there is a device where you have a bunch of buttons. And you can just drag samples onto the buttons and play them. Either on your keyboard or on a beat machine. Or an Ableton Push, if you have an Ableton Push. I do not have an Ableton Push. I have the cheap version, which is a Novation Launchpad. But it's just a little MIDI thing with a bunch of buttons that glow. That's all it is.
Oh, it's just fun glowy buttons that make your drums nice and fun?
Yep. Yep, that's basically it. So if I...
I just use my MIDI piano.
I mean, you literally could use your MIDI piano too. Like, it works with drum rack. You just have to match the... Nice. Yeah, drum rack has little buttons, and all the buttons say, like, C1 and C#1. So, yeah, now I can play it on my... I'm pushing my little Novation pad now with my finger. I love that one.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, now... So, I have this drum beat that I made earlier today... really quickly. Sort of lo-fi-ish, half swing idea.
Nice.
So now I just sort of like get in the mood and I sort of like maybe scrub through the samples again. Ooh. That's kind of cool.
That's really cool.
That one. Yeah, so the ones that stand out, this one. Yeah, it's these two.
Yep.
These like slow, warpy ones.
Slow seems to go with that beat nice, I think.
It really does. I wonder what would happen if we, like, stretched it out. Let's find them. Let's find them in the old reel. And let's...
So this is taking the audio file and, like, making it longer. So it slows it down more, but, like, probably distorts it too, right?
I mean, yeah, like, we can listen. Like, we could literally stretch it out in the sample view, or we could just, like, pitch it down with warp off. So that it will make the sample lower. Okay, that might be a little bit too low. Let's try like an octave. Whoa.
Got a lot of texture to
it. That's cool. Let's go ahead and consolidate and save that and then drag it into our drum thing. It's so loud. Why is it so loud? That's better. Whoa, that's cool.
That's really cool.
That's really cool. Okay, now let's take the other one and do the same thing. That one. Take it, double click, unwarp it, tune it down. Maybe not so much. Maybe we do like -7 this time. Sweet. Love it. Consolidate. Now I'm just going to drag it to the drum machine. Cool. It's there.
This is awesome, Marty. I don't think we've ever cooked on air like this.
I don't think so either. We should do this more often.
Yeah, this is really great.
It's so loud. I don't know why it does that.
I mean, if we're cooking on air, something's got to go wrong.
It's true. I mean, you're not seeing anything like preconceived. Like you're... This is not very planned, except for the back. Like, I have a beat, and then I have some, like, lo-fi other textures for later. Yeah, this beat is kind of what started it. Cool.
I feel like... some of these things you could even tempo sync. Even more to the beat, either the beat changing or them changing. So it's just like as that beat goes, like do 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 do.
Oh, you probably could. Yeah, that's super high effort, you know? But you could certainly do that.
Not a right now thing, but yeah, I just feel like that'd be cool. It's kind of cool offbeat too, though.
Oh yeah, and like you're kind of getting into the spirit of what we're talking about today. Is just like, yeah, glob onto an idea, start doing random stuff, and then eventually inspiration will take hold, and you'll have an idea worth pursuing. You know, like you just did it. Yeah. You were like, oh, make it like match to the beat, like. Like you totally were hearing it, right? And that never would have happened if we didn't pick up some Bohemian polkas. You know?
Wait, yeah, put it in perspective. That just immediately takes me back to that like super jolly mood, but like that the result that would have been is so different. It's like this.
Wait, yeah. Where is it? Da, da, da. I love that one.
La, da, da. You should make that your text tone.
I will. We gotta incorporate
Toon Shed text tones.
We gotta incorporate this into a product.
Yeah, I think we should start selling text tones, man.
We should bring text tones back. That used to be a huge market, by the way.
Oh yeah, everybody's just like silent. Yeah, because like the default ones are so bad.
Yeah, they are pretty bad. Well,
I mean, to anything repeated so many times can get pretty bad, though.
Yeah, it's true. So, okay, I'm going to turn warp back on, and so it retains its slowness, but I'm actually going to tune it back up. So here's what it sounds like now. It's kind of like dreary. I'm kind of wondering what it would sound like tuned back up, but keeping that like warp thing.
Okay.
God, that's sick.
Ooh, you can hear a little bit of that flute come in or something at the end.
Yeah, whatever
that
is.
Cool effect.
I might actually like fade it in and out in the sampler. Oh, that's so cool. That's such a cool texture. Okay. Fade it in a little more. I'm going to pan it all the way to the side. And just sort of like see what happens if I play it along with this beat.
Whoa.
Cool.
Woo!
That's awesome.
That's kind of cool restarting it halfway through and like letting it kind of take a breath.
Yeah, like why not, right? So I set this one. I'm gonna tune the other one back up too. And then pan it to the other side. Cool. Let's make it a little quieter so it like blends in as a texture.
Okay. I like that.
Cool. I don't mind that. I might actually get rid of the fade in and fade out on the other one. Just so I can like play them more fast. Fasterly.
Have a little more control.
Yeah.
Ooh. You're on to something, Marty.
I think so. Yeah, why not? Let's put that in. Let's track it.
Yeah, I feel like that's great.
All right.
It's a great texture to make the beat more interesting.
Yeah, that's our pattern. Easy. Four bars.
Wait, that is so cool.
That's not bad. I mean, it's certainly not catchy or like hooky, right? But that's not the point. The point is for cool, interesting, different, unique things to be happening.
Yeah. You know, if you think about that beat built up into a whole song with parts and singing or rapping or whatever, and then you think about it with or without that sound is so alive. It's different than a software instrument. It's such a texture, you know, like it changes the whole mood of it. And also, if I was sitting down in a DAW without a record player, I have no idea how I would make something like that. If someone was like, go make this sound.
Oh,
just
right.
In your DAW, just try it. Just like, how would you even start? Like, it'd be crazy. So that's kind of sweet that you're landing on something so, it's like, such a unique thing. I'm sure there's a way to do it, maybe, or something similar, but probably pretty tricky.
Well, it's kind of the same thinking. Like, this sort of creative process is a similar train of thought to like modular synthesis. It's a similar creative vein. And we'll have a whole episode on modular synthesis, and everyone, every modular synthesis head is like, yes, oh my God. Modular synthesis is a whole bag of worms that that we will get into.
we just upgraded from can to bag. Yeah, I feel like that's our most said phrase. Like, if we had a word cloud about everything we say, it's like sauna. Boom, I roped it in. And can of worms.
Can of worms. Yeah, it's true. Oh, you got a whole bag of worms.
Holy wah.
Holy wah.
We're going to catch a lot of fish tonight, Marty.
Oh, you betcha, buddy.
That was sick.
Well, okay. So I'm actually curious because I also went ahead and developed a little Rode piano sub trio, like a very lo-fi background to this beat. Mm-hmm. So here's the way that the instruments sound. So I have the vinyl stuff happening later, and before it happens, I'm gonna put some tape echo on it just to see what happens. I'm using Waves J37, and I'm just using the tape delay function because God knows it already has enough saturation. So let's see how it sounds. I don't have no idea how it's gonna go. That's great! Wait,
that's so cool.
It's low key in the key of the song somehow.
Yeah.
What?
It fits so well.
Oh, I got kind of lucky. Okay, great. Good.
That's incredible, dude.
I mean, I planned it. I knew it was gonna.
You're a lo-fi god.
I'm a lo-fi. Look at how lucky did I get with the sample. That little Bennett, this thing, like the, like how lucky did I get?
Oh my gosh, you're right.
With that being like sort of in key.
Yeah, it fits so well.
It
incredible.
Really does.
Question, sidetrack question. What the heck is saturation?
Oh, we'll talk about saturation someday. We have to. Oh my, well, it's, again, that's a whole mountain of worms. But in short, saturation is anything that adds harmonic content to an already existing sound, right? So distortion is a good example. Like an exciter is a good example. That's another name for saturation. But it's used in a lot of different ways. So we'll definitely have like a whole episode about saturation.
Yeah.
Yep.
The definition of adding harmonic content makes sense to me. It's like you have a wave, but you're adding stuff in the harmonic spectrum or not, you know, it makes it like a denser sound or a saturated sound. So we need an adjective for it, right?
Oh, exactly. So we need a way to reference it. And I think we'll do a whole series on the harmonic spectrum anyway. We'll just sort of start from ground zero because it's so useful to know about it.
A boot camp.
Things start to really make sense when you understand the harmonic spectrum. So yeah, maybe we should do a harmonic spectrum boot camp. That'd be so fun.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
I wouldn't mind that. Tune Shed Boot Camp, Harmonic Spectrum.
I was thinking we need it. Someone suggested me, like, whenever you guys get too technical or too whatever on the podcast, you need a button that's just like nerd or something.
Nerd alert.
But I think we got the boop, boop, boop.
Should I just,
for a different use.
Should I just
actually,
send
we need
you?
It for whenever we get distracted from the topic.
We do. Yeah, we get distracted way more than we get, like, too pedantic, I feel like.
But it's all relevant, you know?
It's all good, man. I love that. I might keep that. I'm going to keep it.
Wow.
I really like it.
Marty, I love that beat.
Oh, thanks, man. So it's like the quieter it gets, the more subtle it gets. I kind of like it. This is the sort of thing that for all of you hip hop producers out there, this will take your demoing to artists to the next level. Like seriously, the year that I started to incorporate like random bullcrap into all my beats, rappers really started to take notice and like choose my beats over other people. Like really, it is seriously a game changer when it comes to hip hop. Like it adds so much texture, it like makes the beat feel real. And it, in the age of beat stars and like YouTube beats everywhere, really, really solid and thoughtful rappers are increasingly looking for beats that feel personal. So it's really important to a lot of career rappers that like their beats be theirs and like they have a connection to their music that way. So this is like a really easy and great way to make things feel like extremely personal and strange, you know, like it's true.
Well said. Yeah. I mean, it kind of brings me back to what we were saying the other day about how like, you know, people are sort of hunting for, you know, sample libraries, but also, you know, like different types of plugins and all of that is really different ways to making something that's personal, unique, not necessarily unique, but personal, right?
Oh yeah.
And you know, in the case of plugins, I think the overall message is you can get away with using stock plugins. Like you don't have to spend that much money to make something personal. But when it comes to new textures and sounds, this is such a cool way to do it. I gotta get a record player.
Yeah, you really do. Or a tape deck. It works with tape too.
Ooh, that's fun too.
Honestly, if you can figure out a way to output a little tape deck and then like get your finger in there and like wiggle the tape, same thing. Like it's sort of a similar story.
Oh my gosh, do you remember my boomboxular bicycle?
Yes. Oh my god, talk about your bicycle for a second.
I had the coolest bike ever. So I had a friend and he had a machine that took CDs to tape, so we would burn CDs and then put them on tape. And then I got a boombox that wasn't too big, still pretty big, but I strapped it to like the bar right between your legs on the bike. And I called it Blake's Boomboxular Bicycle. And it had like 6 songs on it, and they're all bike themed. I think like Bicycle by Queen was one of them.
Oh
and
my God.
I Can Ride My Bike with No Handlebars. And I would just like ride around as a teenager in my cargo shorts, just like blaring the same 6 songs.
Dude, I swear to God, there's so many kids in high school that were like, yeah, Blake is kind of low key the coolest kid. But like no one's gonna be like the kind of cool Blake is, so there's no point. Like he just comes up with the cool shit to do.
Oh, I had like 5 friends. I was like I felt the opposite, but I'll take the praise. Like I literally hung out with 5 people.
Yeah, that's so good. No, I had a whole conversation with I had a whole conversation with Natalie about this. She was like, yeah, Blake in high school was. Yeah, like I always was like, why didn't I think of that? That's the coolest thing that you could possibly do.
Are you kidding?
No.
Oh my God.
That for sure was a thing.
I'm so far away from what you guys were thinking about, but yeah, throwback to Natalie. Love Natalie.
Yeah.
Wonder what she's up to these days.
Yeah, I miss Natalie for sure. Wonder what she's doing. Well,
such a homie.
Well, anyway, I just noticed the random like vinyl stuff that we left.
Oh yeah.
Maybe we should just put that somewhere. Hold on, let me like duplicate it, consolidate. Here. Here it comes. That's nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, I'll put it lower in the mix, though.
It's kind of that little tambourine hit or whatever it is on the upbeat.
It
feels good.
It is kind of like non-linear.
Yeah.
Here comes the other stuff. miss it. I miss the vinyl.
I miss it.
All right, I'm putting it back in.
You know what I was thinking earlier? You were playing the beat and talking a little, and you know how sometimes there's like lo-fi music and they're like, we need to make this more like emotionally charged, so they'll like clip a Alan Watts something and just put it in there and be like, the meaning of life is forever this, you know?
Oh yeah, they do.
I was just like
that.
Listening to you talk, and I was like, that's kind of nice actually, like just put a little like tape delay on your voice and just put that right in. Your Toon Shed theme song,
a little bit of tape delay.
Yeah, you know?
Hey.
Or the radio effect.
The Grand Fitness Pacer Test is a multi-stage aerobic capacity test designed to test the limits of your aerobic capacity.
Oh my god, I'm dying.
I need a better voice for that. I need a lower voice. My voice is a little
No, I love it. I love it.
That's
it's
great.
Perfect.
It's so fun. See, okay, one more thing I want to try. You mentioned before, like, he made that thing into a synth before. And I'm like, oh yeah. So that's actually really fun to do. And it's easier than you think it is. So
really?
Yeah. So if you could imagine, like, one sound being transposed a billion times, like, if you've ever seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off, he has that piano. Mm-hmm. His friend has that piano in his room in the beginning of the movie that he's playing like the toilet flushing sounds on. Right?
Oh yeah.
So that technology is pretty old, and you can easily transpose anything by just dragging it into a MIDI clip. So if you open a MIDI track on Ableton and you look at the bottom, it says drop instrument or sample here. Most people will drop an instrument, but have you ever tried dropping a sample? Ayo.
I work in Logic, so I don't know.
Well, that's true. I think Logic has a similar thing. I think it's a specific software instrument. But
yeah,
Logic,
that's the one.
Yeah, Logic definitely has something like this too. Basically, you choose a sample that you feel like would make a good... It would transpose well, right? So typically that would mean it has to be like one note. No... That's two notes. You can always stretch it out too.
Dang, it's a slide.
There are tons of there's so many notes in Bohemian Polka.
Because we were playing it so fast.
I know. Oh, there's one.
Nice and sharp.
We can.
Your impersonation. We should record your impersonation and use that.
We should. We should only clip my impersonations. I have it at the touch. Oh. I have it at the touch of a button. It's so dangerous.
You're running away with power.
I know. Someone stop me. All right, I'm consolidating this thing, and I'm gonna actually stretch it out, as opposed to detuning it. So the way I do that is, I just click on the clip. And then I shift click somewhere in the future on the track so that I'm highlighting empty space, and I consolidate that clip. And so then the clip becomes the sample and then a bunch of empty space in the clip, right? So then okay. I can double click the ends of the sample and just like stretch them across empty space, right? That's what it sounds Whoa. Like on complex mode. But Ableton has a bunch of warping modes. So I'm using Complex Pro. That could be interesting. That could be interesting to sample. So
a super powerful.
Yeah, it's almost like a square wave. That's cool. So I'm going to open up a MIDI track.
It's like phasing in there too, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. Whine. Oh, yeah. It's like whiny and warped beyond comparison. Beyond recognizability, baby.
There we go.
So I'm going to go ahead and drop it into a MIDI clip. And I'm actually going to sort of start the sample a little later and then fade it. So it loops.
What is happening?
Chaos, baby. Now it's an instrument.
Wait, so you... All right, so you took a little clip, stretched it out, put it on a piano, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And is that it?
Yeah, I just dragged it onto a MIDI clip. Not a MIDI clip, a MIDI track. And then Ableton automatically converted it into an instrument, so I can play it on my piano. So here, I mean...
Oh my gosh.
There's a C scale. I mean, it's kind
of
like...
Wow, that thing's crazy.
Well, the sample is kind of naturally polyphonic, which is kind of fun, right? So I wonder if I could figure... So the sample obviously isn't in C, but when I drag it onto a MIDI track, it assigns the original sample to C, which means that I won't be able to... So I know the song that I played, like, this is an E flat, but I'm not going to be able to play the sample in E flat because the transposition is all messed up. So I'm going to have to sort of use my ear and like kind of figure out where I am. There it is.
Yeah.
Oops. So I'm just playing E and A. That's actually kind of fun. The enharmonic relationship is a half step away. Sounds like a video game. Okay, let's make it quieter. That's fun.
It actually kind of sounds like the other thing too.
It kind of does.
They're like siblings.
I'm gonna put it right at the end of the pattern, like. You're just playing. We're just playing, man. It's wax play.
It's wax play. That's cool. That's nice. You can make instruments. You can make weird sound clips.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Wonderful.
It is wonderful. It's a fun little place to start jumping off. You know, and I know we did a lot of decoration today. Like we did a lot of, oh, here's how to add like fun, weird color to your composition. And I realized that I already had sort of like a pretty decent lo-fi thing going on to support what I like the weird stuff I was doing. But like, why not start with this and try to craft something around it? You know?
Good point.
You know, it just it doesn't matter. It's just more tools for you to play with.
Yep. Tools in the tune shed.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. All right, we good?
That's it? That's all I got.
Feels great. Feels good. I'm going to get after it. Get some sort of record player out there. And what's popping for next week?
Well, next week? Oh, my God. What are we doing next week? Let me just pull it up.
Oops. Is it a mystery box?
No. I'll tell everybody what we're doing next week.
Tell them.
Next week.
Leave.
Ooh, next week we're doing some audio acoustic stuff. We're doing, we're talking about home studio rooms and how to make them sound less bad.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, really good one. Really important. Something I wish I had known so long ago. So stick around for that.
Dang. Yeah, I know nothing about that. That's going to be good. Good stuff. All right, as per usual, everybody, send us an email, thetuneshedpodcast@gmail.com. And in that email, tell us what you like. Tell us what you're bored of. Tell us what you want to hear more of. And tell your friends and all your friends who are music heads that the place to be is the Tune Shed. And see you next time. Much love.
Bye.
I couldn't get it to rhyme.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.